clock into a little bit of disarray. Why? Because I like to make time to move around for my guests. That's what we do here on a Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Cavely, now joined on the West Hur Hotline by one Brian Koziel. If you heard him earlier this morning on Tee to Green, then you get to hear more of him now. If you didn't hear him on Tee to Green, what's wrong with you? Do that. Yeah, I know it's early, but you should do it anyway. Am I right, Brian?
That's right.
You can go back and listen any time of the day.
In. That's right. We just tweeted out the link of the show. You can always check it out on demand, but on our social media account at T2G Buffalo, we were at a site of where the Porter Cup's going to be this week, the annual great amateur tournament at Niagara Falls Country Club, previewing it. So, hope everybody can if you didn't tune in this morning, to go down and go download it and listen to it.
And you also get some of the best golf talk that you're going to get, especially around here between you and Jeff and Kevin and any of the guests that you guys always bring in. But, Brian, it's, you know, we've got the Open coming up, the Open Championship coming up soon, but also a neat little event around here because you mentioned the Porter Cup, but now there's also another one that's coming around the corner here with the Dusters Challenge. And I wanted to get you on to talk a little bit about that, get a little plug for the Duster Challenge. What's it about in case people are interested in this sort of thing? Joe's curious about it because he's never heard of it relatively. And
I've heard of it in passing.
You've heard of it, yeah. But like,
I don't know what it is.
When it comes to our actual golfing, you do it a lot more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what this is all about.
Yeah, so we're on the ninth edition of our Duster Putting Challenge. But about 10 years ago, Jeff and Kevin and I were like, hey, we want to do something to raise money for a charity that's tied to golf and, you know, use our show as kind of the platform for it. And we were like, well, what can we do? Like, well, you know, there's so many tournaments out there and a lot of people run tournaments. We're like, well, you know, let's maybe we can do something different. And we thought about like maybe like a long drive contest. But, you know, there's only certain people that maybe would do that. Like if you can't hit the ball a long ways, like, you know, you're not. We're like, all right, what can we do that we can really like get everybody possibly interested in doing this? And not even necessarily like hardcore golfers, like just anybody. And we came up with this idea of having a putting contest because we're like, well, you know what? Everybody at some point in their life does putt-putt or mini golf. So like you don't have to be a golfer per se to do this. So we came up with this idea and I'll give Kevin Sylvester credit. He came up with this fictional character called the Duster because he comes through and dusts everybody away because he's the best putter in the world. So we have this little, you know, fictional character that's he's the Duster because he's the best putter in the world. So our job is to crown the best putter in Western New York. And we started it 9 years ago back at Fox Valley. And a gentleman by the name of Scott Howard, who's the superintendent at the time, he's now the owner and runs Attica Country Club, the 10th hole at Attica and that golf course out there. He helped us design the course, and it's since then moved to Glen Oak. We needed a bigger facility to accommodate more people and a bigger putting green and a bigger surface. And the Western New York PGA has also come on board with us to help run the event to make it a little bit more special with their digital scoring and all the great stuff that come with it. So basically how we do it is we have the last 2 years had over 100 golfers and we anticipate over 100 again. We can take 108. That's the max that we can fit in our event. But we send out a wave of putters at 6 o'clock, a wave of putters at 7 o'clock. And we take the top 16 scores from the 100 and so that go out and putt. And from there, we turn it into kind of like a NCAA bracket. And we do 1 versus 16 for 9 holes, 2 versus 15 for 9 holes, 3 versus 14 for 9 holes, and so on. And then get to the quarterfinals and the semis and the finals. And we have lights out on the putting green at Glen Oak. So as the night goes from day to night, we have the lights out there to make it fun. We've got music going the whole time. I'll credit my brother, Jonathan Koziel, who also works at our station.
Mm-hmm.
He does the music all night, so we have a fun night with that. Kevin and I MC it the whole night, so not only do you get to hear us you know, comment and everybody. But if you make a nice hole in one or a great putt along the way, we're shouting it out for people to do it. And we've added things along the way, like the PGA does the electronic scoring, so you get to see your name and lights and on a real like scoring website. And Peter Gourmet has stepped up again and is donating the dinner, so everybody will get a beautiful dinner from Peter Gourmet. Michelob Ultra stepped up to provide drinks. So you get Peter Gourmet, you get drinks all night. We've got other drinks for, you know, for the non-beer drinkers and the non-seltzer drinkers as well. And we've got raffles and prizes. A ton of golf courses, Derek and Joe in the area, have donated foursomes to give away. So we're going to have raffles for that. And a lot of private country clubs, too, that maybe people don't have regular access to. So here's your chance to maybe win in on that. We do a 50-50. It's super fun, and people, even after they're eliminated, they hang out all night, and we've got chairs wrapped all the way around the green, so you can hang out and just, you know, have your beverage and listen to the music and watch everybody putt. And it's really, really cool. We go from 108 golfers down to one, and then at the end we present our Hickory putter, our old school Hickory putter. We call it the Pacer Putter Trophy. Mark, it's in honor of the late great Mark Pacer, who was one of the original sponsors of our show that really made it kind of get on the air and going 20-some years ago. So he unfortunately passed away due to cancer way too early in his life. So we named the trophy after him. We call it the Pacer Putter, and we give that away to our winner at the end. So, I mean, it's all for fun. But with all that said, all the proceeds go to benefit PGA Hope, and that's for military veterans that are coming home back from serving our country anywhere around the world and trying to get them to transition back to normal lives that you and I all enjoy. And we do it through golf experiences. So whether it's, you know, pros giving lessons, whether it's setting up clinics, whether it's setting up getting them maybe equipment if they've been disabled through their time of serving and maybe they need something to help them golf because something physically has happened to them. It could be some special equipment or some device, or even we even have a cart for someone that maybe even can't even walk because they maybe only have one leg or something like that to play. So anyway, long-winded answer there. We've now done it for 9 years. It gets bigger and better every year. Last year we raised over $5,000 for PGA Hope. So mm-hmm. We're hoping to even increase that number this year. But yeah, that's how it all plays out. It's next Friday at Glen Oak at 6:00. We're looking forward to it.
So is this something like if you don't have, if you did not purchase your chance to participate, is it something that people can at least stop by and spectate?
Yes. So if someone just heard that and it's like, hey, I would love to do that. By the way, again, you don't have to be a good putter. This is all for charity.
I took part in this years ago, yes. And we all know I definitely finished in last. I saw my name last on the leaderboard. So if I can do it and have fun, so can you.
Right. If you think you're a good putter, then come out and see if you can win it, right? But yes, so if the easiest way to do this, I've got it at the top of my Twitter page at BrianWGR. It's the pinned tweet, and it's also the link that's in the bio. It'll take you right to the registration link. We actually do, as of yesterday, I think we were in the 90s in terms of signed up. So we may have about 10 single digit, you know, maybe 8 to 10 spots left. So if somebody wants to jump in, it's a $49 donation, but it gets you into the contest, but it also gets you dinner and drinks. Oh, by the way, I should mention Callaway is going to give you a sleeve of golf balls, too. They're coming to donate that as well. So you get those to putt with, too. So thanks to our friend Taylor Gessel from Callaway. So we have all that there, and you know, your donation's going to help PGA Hope. So it's a great cause, but you're right. If you just want to simply donate to the cause, you're like, hey, this is a great cause. I'd love to donate $10, $20, whatever. We would love to have any donation. If you're an area business and you'd like to donate to be a sponsor for the event, you can click on that link and there's a spot there to donate. Even if you'd like to register, go for it. As soon as it's sold out, like it'll shut down the ability to register for it, but the spot will always be on the link is available to donate if someone's interested, even if it goes beyond being able to putt or not.
So, Brian, just you mentioned it goes down to a bracket-style tournament, and just kind of picturing all of this in my mind, and having emceed them yourself, how many upsets do you normally see? Does it actually kind of ebb and flow on like the favorites getting through, or just like how does that normally look? Is it kind of vary?
Yeah, the one seed doesn't always necessarily win. I mean, we've had, you know, we've done this 8 times, so because it's one on one at the end. So you know, obviously anything can. And if you're one of the top 16 that make it through from 100, like obviously you're a very good putter. So yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say seeds hold for whatever that's worth going forward at the end. But I will tell you this, for those of you, you know, thinking like, well, how good do you have to be? So there's 18 holes that we set up on the big practice green at Glen Oak. And if you can just two putt each one and put up a 36, 36 has made it into the top 16 virtually every year. So if you think, oh, I can just two putt. Now, some of these are a little bit more difficult, but we also put up some of them that are only maybe like between, you know, 10 to 15 feet where you have a chance to make a hole in one. But if you think you can average a two putt, you likely will be in the top 16. So that's kind of how we have it set up. And yeah, it's, you know what, it was really cool about this is that we get so many different levels, so many different ages. Last year, our finals was a middle-aged man who won it versus a high school senior. And, you know, we've had all sorts of different ages. And my father's participating, who's 79 years old, and he gets out there. He knows he's probably not going to win, but we drag him out there, and he comes and supports the cause as well. So, you know, we welcome everybody. If you want to bring your son or your daughter to come and putt, or even if you just want to come and hang out for a half hour or an hour, you can donate and, you know, stand by the Glen Oak putting green and listen to us ramble on the microphone with the music in the background.
It's a good vibe, though. Like, yeah. I definitely need to make my way back to be able to not, maybe not participate, but definitely just at least to be around it again. Because when it was me, Kyle Powell, Nate Geary, and Joe DiBiase, the four of us, I remember we went that 1 year. Nate was busy the rest of the way, but the three of us were not.
Yeah, Nate putted well. No, Nate, we've had Joe. A lot of.
I remember Joe just missed the cut, but then like me and Kyle, like, yeah, no. I was at the bottom and Kyle was, you know.
Yeah.
A little bit better than me, but.
We've had a lot of guys from the station do it. Mm-hmm. I know the four of you that you just mentioned, Evan, who's producing today for you, because mm-hmm. he's our Tee to Green go-to producer. He's participating as well. And we had Sal Capaccio putt with us, of course, before. And this year we're excited. Bulldog and Owen are yep. going to be kind of our WGR celebrities putting this year. So you can come by if you want to come by and say hi to Bulldog or Owen. They'll be there as well.
You'll be able to pick them out. They're the tall ones.
That's right. That's right.
But Brian, just to one more time, just go over it. It's on Friday at Glen Oak. And you'd said $49 donation
gets you into the putting contest, dinner from Peter Gourmet, drinks from Michelob Ultra, raffles, golf balls from Callaway. And yeah, that gets you in on all of that. So again, the easiest way to do it, go to the top of my Twitter page at BrianWGR, and it's the pinned tweet. You can also, the link is in my bio there too. You just click on the link and it takes you right to the registration site, and you can get in, and we'd love to have it. Again, if you can't participate, but you feel like, hey, that sounds like a good cause and you'd like to donate, you can do so right there as well on that registration page. If you just want to be a person that donates, we would love the support from everybody across Western New York. So hopefully we'll get you guys back going at it this year. Evan can give you his breakdown of how he putts next Saturday here when he's putting, because he's putting on Friday night.
I need to ask, is this a rain or shine event?
This is a rain or shine event. Obviously, you know, if there's dangerous thunder and lightning, yep. you know, we would, as any golf thing would do, we'd have to postpone it and bring it or suspend it to bring people in. But, it's, you know, as long as it's not raining to the point where it's becomes unputtable, and cross our fingers, knock on wood, for 8 years we've had cooperative weather, so we'll hope that that continues here on next Friday.
Yep, I looked at the extended. I do see there is a chance at something, so you know, we want to make sure that people know, like, just because it might be like drizzling outside, that doesn't mean right. it's going to stop at any moment there.
Yeah, we'll have that. We'll again, unless it's unplayable or there's thunder and lightning, we'll be out there doing it. So either way.
All right, and of course, Brian, I hate to do this to you, but you are our host for the Sabres Radio Network. So I do have to ask you, because it's been a while.
Everybody during this offseason here, I love the intros for Sabres. They'll have me on for other things like this, and you're like, all right, Brian, well, we have to transition to the Sabres.
We have to do this one thing because it is
I always want to say at this point, my connection seems to be cutting out, guys. Gonna have to let you go, you know.
But it does look like, and, you know, we did start a little bit of the opening banter for this show of, I recalled earlier this week doing a show with Zach where we mentioned some of our favorite Bills seasons. And I brought up the Droughtbreaker, a team that really had no business making the playoffs, but they did it anyway. And I look at the Sabres off season and go, is that the only way that they can make it now? Because I don't feel all that encouraged by the roster. But I also know that Montreal had no business making it last year. So it happens in the league.
Yeah, and I would probably slightly, I wouldn't go as far as Montreal as a surprise, but Ottawa was a surprise too. Mm-hmm. I mean, those ended up being the two wild cards, you know, that we ended up having in the Eastern Conference, Ottawa and Montreal. I mean, guys, would you have said going into the season last year, Ottawa on paper or Montreal on paper is better than Buffalo? I wouldn't have said
no.
I wouldn't have said yes to that, right? Like, I mean, no, yeah. So, yes, is there any argument against saying that Buffalo can't be one of those two wild cards this year? I guess not. I guess how I look at it is that this season, there was supposed to be kind of that big move. And I know we all heard the rumor, Kevin Adams is open for business and have that big move. And you would think that for a GM that, in my opinion, would feel fortunate that he's getting a sixth season after missing a playoffs 5 years in a row. I mean, what general manager in pro major sports in the Big Four would you have your team miss the playoffs 5 years in a row and you get a sixth year? Like, especially in the NHL, I feel like the NHL changes GMs and coaches more than any of the Big Four. So, like, I think he's got to feel fortunate. And they also hired a senior GM advisor, an assistant GM. So, like, if Kerry Pegula really wanted to make a change, he could do it easier than even in previous years because he's got two other guys on his payroll that are just sitting right here mm-hmm. ready to go. I thought Adams would show a little bit more urgency in terms of making moves. Now, you know, he might say, well, the J.J. Pachurka trade was the big move. Well, possibly, but again, the best player in the trade left the Buffalo Sabres. And I think this is something I talked about with you guys, you know, earlier or whenever we spoke last about.
Locker cleanout's the one where I remember that of like load Allen onto a plane. Granted, the Vegas Golden Knights stopped anyone from having that kind of fun. But something of the face of the idea to where none of that still happened.
Yeah. And the best player in the trade, again, left Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, the Eichel trade. Now, Alex Tuch turned out to be a great player. But the best player in that trade still left Buffalo. Devon Levi might turn out to be a great player for the Sabres, a great goalie. But the best player in that trade with Florida that sent Sam Reinhart to the Panthers left Buffalo. You know, at the time, right, even go back far, Ryan O'Reilly's trade. It was for a collection of picks and prospects. Well, one of those prospects was Tage Thompson. That trade really, really worked out. But at the moment of the trade, the best player left Buffalo. Can we recall, and this is where you guys can help me here, I can't recall a trade in Kevin Adams' tenure where at the time of the trade, the better player in the trade was coming to Buffalo. I don't see that.
There's, you know, ready?
I don't either.
There's two. Last year, Ryan McLeod coming in return for Matthew Savoy.
That was a good trade.
Mm-hmm. At the time, the best player comes to Buffalo there.
Right.
Yep.
And the other one is Jordan Greenway for a mid-round pick.
Yeah. So it's a short, minimal list. And this is not to take anything away from Ryan McLeod. I thought that trade worked out great.
Right.
But he wouldn't be labeled necessarily like a top-line player. He ended up playing top line due to injuries at times, but McLeod, by the way, I don't want to have that come off as being like that I don't like his game. I thought that trade worked out wonderfully, and McLeod played in so many different situations and played in so many different lines and played center and wing and played with everybody on the forward roster. I was really impressed with what he did. With that being said, Kesselring coming in, I think, is going to be a nice partner for Owen Power. At least I assume on paper that's the plan coming in. This Bo Byram situation has just played out way too long. It seems very reactive. Everything has been built upon the fact that they, when asked about the salary cap and spending money or signing free agents or maybe having to overpay to get a free agent, it's all been based upon the fact, well, we have to allot money for Bo Byram, or we have to be ready if we have to match an offer sheet, all this. It seems very reactive. And if you want Bo Byram on your team, if you think he's a guy that can really help you going forward, and I think there's an argument to say that there is a good argument to say that he can help your team going forward, then sign him. But I think this, like, well, if a team offer does an offer sheet, we'll match it. But if a team offers this, we'll wait and see what's best. Like, you could say that about any player. But to hamstring and handcuff your off-season plans because you're not sure of what other teams might do to possibly acquire Byram via trade or offer sheet or whatever, like, it just seems reactive to me. And I wanted to have more of a concise plan, I feel like, with that. And I feel like that I heard a lot of different messages that sounded very reactive to me. And that is, you know, Byram, when he played with Dahlin, looked great. And Byram, when he didn't play with Dahlin at times, looked very inconsistent. Do I think Byram playing with Dahlin would work out fine? I do. But it should have been, like, this is what we want. We want Bo Byram here. We want him to play with Rasmus Dahlin. And here's the contract. And boom. But instead, it's like, well, let's see if someone offer sheets us. Let's see. Well, now we're going to go to arbitration. Like, I don't know. It just seems kind of like they didn't have a concise plan. They were waiting to kind of see what the league thought of Bo Byram. And then, well, we'll react to that. And I didn't like how it is still playing out.
Even the fact that the team elected to go to arbitration then as well, which allows the player to go 1 or 2 years on their contract term. So we will get a contract drawn up for Byram at this point. But it's either we do the same song and dance next year or they walk Byram right to UFA. And I don't know if either is the best of asset management, but we will get an end to this at some point, which is, you know, I'll take that for what that is at this point, though, Brian. I don't want to keep dwelling on, you know, anything with the Sabres, the offseason that has been, and the underwhelming portions of it. So we'll let you go more or less with this one here. Brian, I'm sorry that the Orioles are not doing too hot this year. The AL East is wild, but somebody has to suffer the consequences of that, and I'm sorry that that's your team there. Did you hear the national anthem a couple days ago that was played?
At the Orioles game?
Yes.
The EDM national anthem?
So I saw this through my feed, but I didn't actually listen to it.
Oh, well, I think, yeah. Evan, do we have it? What are your thoughts, Brian?
Different. I don't know. It doesn't sound like a baseball game to me.
Yeah, that makes sense. Evan, you were too ready for that.
Yeah, he had it primed and ready to go. The best part of that, Brian, is you'll hear it in a moment. When they get to the O, he screams it into the microphone, and it just is an overmodulated.
Well, it's an Orioles thing, though.
I know it is. We'll see, but it's just diabolical.
Oh, jeez. I know that's what the Orioles fans do. They, you know, the yell O at that point.
But that definitely sounds different.
Yeah, it's different. look at, I understand you have 80 some games to try to get an anthem singer for. I understand that maybe you have to think outside the box at times, but I don't know if I would have gone down that route. That doesn't sound like a great day of baseball in the summer in a major league ballpark, but
no.
Hey, maybe, you know, maybe it got people to pay attention. Look at it, got us to talk about it. So.
It did. It worked. They also won that game.
They did. Maybe they needed more. We'll see. we'll see if he appears
anymore. They took down
anymore.
The Amazons that day. So good for them.
Yep.
Brian, before we let you go, I actually have a question about the Open coming up next week. Mm-hmm. I see this tweet, and I just want to get your thoughts on it. And it, the Open tweeted out that a spider cam in the world first for golf yesterday bring millions of TV viewers closer to the world's best golfers. What do you know anything about this? And do you know what the spider cam is, or are you going to be seeing it for the first time?
Yeah, for golf, this is something that definitely is happening, I think, for the first time. But yeah, supposedly it's like a plane camera, I guess, aerial drones to enhance it. It's going to go from like one side of the 18th hole to the other. So we're going to get to see, some, I guess, is it similar to what we see like on the NFL games, like where the drone is on top of the huddle almost? I guess. But yeah, they're using 25 meter high pylons to get this thing up in the air. And then there's going to be this camera like going back and forth, I guess. But yeah, we've seen it in football. I mean, the logistics and the cost of this has to be ridiculous. I was reading that it may have cost them over 300,000 euros. So, I mean, what is that? $350,000?
Right around,
like try to come and get this IMG media thing together. But we'll see. I mean, I'm excited to see it. I think I'll say the second best broadcasting piece for me with technology is golf. Number one to me is still the first down line in football. I feel like that still is enhanced so much how we watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Shot Tracer for golf is got to be a close second. In terms of things that maybe over the last decade that has really changed how we watch sports, I think golf on TV has really, really benefited from Shot Tracer and how the ball is obviously followed there with the path that they have. So I love that. I'm really curious to see how this spider cam coverage goes. And I know that NBC, who has the rights to the Open here, and Golf Channel, that they are going to have access to it, because they're not each of these, like Sky Sports in the UK has it, and you know, NBC has it in the US. Like, they're not each going to have to set up their own thing. I guess they're all going to be tying in to this spider cam. And then if it works out, if it's deemed successful, I guess that they may be figuring out a way to do it for future majors or the Ryder Cup or things like that. But it's weird that it's happening at the Open, at a place where, you know, it's kind of, you wouldn't think, oh, they're going to do something outside the box. Like, this is the home of golf, and this is, you know, where golf originated from, that they're going to go ahead and do something like this. What a lot of people like about the Open is its tradition and kind of its old school feel and look. But man, this is going to be different. But it is going to be on the 18th green at Royal Port Rush at the course this week. So we'll have to see how it plays out. Yes, Spider Cam is going to be on display next week, so we'll have to watch for that.
All right, Brian, we'll let you get through and enjoy the rest of your weekend here, but give one quick plug again about the Duster Challenge coming up this Friday.
Yeah, it's next Friday at Glen Oak at 6 o'clock, and we'd love to have you sign up for it. You can sign up at the top of my Twitter page at BrianWGR. If you don't have Twitter, you can go to WNYPGA.com. That's the Western New York PGA website, so WNYPGA.com, and then you can just look for the Duster Challenge that way if you don't have any. For those that maybe don't even have Twitter, that's another way to get to it. And we'd love to have anybody show up and donate, or just keep, even if you're not even participating or it's a last minute thing, if you just want to come and hang out and cheer us on or heckle us when we miss a putt, we're all for it.
Brian, appreciate the time, thank you, and hopefully I'll make my way out there Friday to see you.
Yeah, come by on Friday, guys. We'd love to have you hang out.
Absolutely.
You can heckle Evan when he misses a putt.
Yes.
Or Owen.
Or might Owen. Be a or lot of missed putts by me.
I don't have a leg to stand on to heckle anybody, so I'm not going to do that.
Evan, I think are you locked in with your putter right now? Do you feel like you're ready to compete here?
No, but I'm going to do my best.
That's the right attitude.
That's right. That's a good attitude to have. That's right.
All right, Brian, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, guys, thanks so much. Enjoy your weekend.
Brian Kozy on the WGR's West Her Hotline. Wow, what a way to butcher that read right there. Tee to Green, though, every Saturday on WGR, and hosting and emceeing the Duster Challenge on Friday at Glen Oak. We'll come back And, of course, time-honored traditions have to carry on. The Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next here. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, Evans on the board. This is Sports Talk Saturday.